be able to even it out. So.
It's an ill wind that blows no good.
That's my old wind.
What?
He's overflowing with platitudes this morning.
That wind.
What'd you just say?
It's an ill wind that blows no good.
Is that like a saying?
We brought forth, as it were, wind.
I like a west wind that brings fair weather.
It's a fair wind from Java. Fair wind, west wind.
The fool knoweth not how to go into the city.
But multiplieth his words.
Do we need to...
Carol is not amused, by the way.
Do we need to talk any further about what that meant? The fool knoweth not how to go into the city.
Yeah, we're okay.
You weren't even here, Ronnie.
We're good with that.
What does it mean then? Gary, you remember?
Means you got to die. You don't see your death, you best not.
Well, you can't get into the city.
Can't.
So you know it's not how. Yeah. You're constantly working.
Trying to figure
something
out.
Right.
666.
You
can't get to
you agree
eight.
With everything that's said, but you don't pick up the phone.
You're right.
He has his own private universe. Doesn't matter where he sits, he has his own private universe.
He's in his own control room.
All right, next verse. Woe in verse 16. Chapter 10, Ecclesiastes, verse 16. Woe to thee, O land, when thy king is a child, and thy princes eat in the morning. What does that mean? There was a huge division among the tribes, as you hopefully know. And the 10 northern tribes were sent into exile, and they disappeared from history. And the two southern tribes, which were Judah and Benjamin, were the only really ones that were important from God's standpoint, because Judah was the keeper of the bloodline, and Benjamin was the keeper of the temple. So in order for his mercy to continue, the temple had to continue. In order for the mystery to continue, Judah had to continue. And so because of this difference between what they called Israel, which was the 10 northern tribes, and Judah, or the Jews, which were the Judah and Benjamin, Judah was the dominant tribe, then everything, when you read this, it talks about Judah and Israel all the time, but the whole mystery of it is that these were two, because Israel became apostate, Judah was the only one that even in any way kept, or Judah and Benjamin were the only ones. And that became, that land of Judah became known as the Jews, from Judah. So what this refers to, and it's the same, it's talking, the fool knoweth not how to, in verse 15, the labor of the foolish wearieth every one of them, and because he knoweth not how to go into the city. In ancient times, they always referred that to Israel. Israel was the fool. When Israel multiplieth his words, and Israel knoweth not how to go into the city. And so, here again, when thy king is a child, the Talmud says that refers to Israel, that they always had these 3-year-olds and 10-year-olds as their king, And so they feasted in the morning. I mean, their feasts were not connected to the calendar. They feasted in the morning. You understand? Does that make sense?
The rulers are not wise.
Huh?
The rulers lack wisdom.
Right.
And I think one of the things I remember about this was feasting in the morning means that you stayed up all night drinking. Just
you're right. That's another one.
Like foolishness is
rampant. Right. Instead of, you remember, the good guys, in their view, were the ones that were still expanding on the tale at the Passover Haggadah when the sound came for the morning Shema. They hadn't even started. They were still expanding the tale. They hadn't even celebrated it. So always it was expanding the tale that was encouraged, and this feasting in the morning was condemned.
Chambering.
What?
Chambering. It's another expression. Riotous parties and chambering.
Let's go to Isaiah 5. Now, what?
Someone with a living Bible says.
Why don't you bring it with you next time? Then you can read it to correct all of us.
Start your own living Bible morning Bible study.
Then you can have everyone discuss. What do you think this means? What does this mean to you?
It's special.
Don't get me.
Isaiah.
What?
Isaiah what?
Five.
You know what a morning pot is?
Yes, I know what a morning pot is. It's when you don't have indoor bathrooms.
So in the morning you got to go back to the pot.
No, you got to bring the pot out from under the bed.
Oh.
You youngsters don't remember those. Isaiah 5.
Right to your left, just a few pages. Come on, you can do it.
I think it was right to the right. I think it's left to your right. He doesn't know how to get through the city.
For all you. To the right for all you non-dyslexics.
Yeah.
The first five verses of Isaiah were a song that was sung in different times of the year. The first seven verses. And so, now will I sing to my well-beloved a song of my beloved touching his vineyard, or concerning. My well-beloved hath a vineyard in a very fruitful hill, and he fenced it, and gathered out the stones thereof, and planted it with the choicest vine, and built a tower in the midst of it, and also made a winepress therein. And he looked that it should bring forth grapes, and it brought forth wild grapes. And now, O inhabitants of Jerusalem and men of Judah, judge, I pray you, betwixt me and my vineyard. What could have been done more to my vineyard that I have not done in it? Wherefore, when I looked that it should bring forth grapes, it brought forth wild grapes. And now go to, I will tell you what I will do to my vineyard. I will take away the hedge thereof, and it shall be eaten up, and break down the wall thereof, and it shall be trodden down, and I will lay it waste. It shall not be pruned nor digged, but there shall come up briars and thorns. I will also command the clouds that they rain no rain upon it, for the vineyard of the Lord of hosts is the house of Israel, and the men of Judah his pleasant plant. And he looked for judgment, but behold, oppression, for righteousness, but behold, a cry. So that further defines that distinction between Israel and Judah. But then he goes and... Well, it really condemns them both, but now watch what happens. Woe to them that join house to house, that lay field to field, till there be no place, that they may be placed alone in the midst of the earth. In mine ear, saith the Lord of hosts, of a truth, many houses shall be desolate, even great and fair without inhabitant. Yea, 10 acres of vineyard shall yield one bath, and the seed of a omer shall yield an ephah, which means there's nothing. They don't get anything from there, what they do. Woe unto them that rise up early in the morning, that they may follow strong drink, and continue until night, till wine inflame them. And the harp, and the vial, and the tabret, and the pipe, and the wine are in their feasts, but they regard not the work of the Lord, neither consider the operation of his hands. Therefore my people are gone into captivity, because they have no knowledge, and their honorable men are famished, and their multitude dried up with thirst. Therefore hell hath enlarged herself, and opened her mouth without measure, and their glory, and their multitude, and their pomp, and he that rejoiceth shall descend into it. And the mean man, or the... It doesn't mean mean, like... What? Did he just say Oli mean? Kevin said that?
I don't know who said it.
Huh?
I don't know who said it.
Does
it
mean like poor?
Obscure.
Obscure.
Before I was so rudely interrupted. And the obscure men, or mean men, shall be brought down, and the mighty man shall be humbled, and the eyes of the lofty shall be humbled. But the Lord of hosts shall be exalted in judgment, and God that is holy shall be sanctified in righteousness. Then shall the lambs feed after their manner, and the waste places of the fat ones shall strangers eat. Woe unto them that draw iniquity with cords of vanity, and sin, as it were, with a cart rope. Let's say, let him make speed and hasten his work, that we may see it. And at the counsel of the Holy One of Israel, draw nigh and come, that we may know. Woe unto them that call evil good and good evil, that put darkness for light and light for darkness, that put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Now, you would never be, or we would never be, ones that would call evil good and good evil, would we?
Of course.
Did Ronnie just say that?
Yeah.
You would never call suffering strange or evil. You would never call getting wealthy being, or having everything go your way, being good, would you?
Or bad.
Perhaps.
No, the point of it is, we still, no matter how much we hear of the cross, we still judge after our senses. You know, it's like it never stops, because that's what we are hardwired to do. And we sin, as it were, with a cart rope. How do we do that? How do we do it? This is best seen in conflict.
Can I ask, what is it in us that comes against that? Is it the
death?
Is it knowledge? I mean, but is death a choice?
No, it's the understanding, finally. First of all, it's repentance. Then it's the understanding that you can't try to die. Then it's the understanding you've invented yourself. And then it's the understanding that you died at the cross. And there's been this being that's been masquerading as you.
Right. I see all that hardwired. No question about that.
But you have to see the end of what that the hardwiredness is all it can be. Therefore, you owe yourself nothing. Because otherwise, you continue to try to save yourself.
Yeah. See, that's my question, I think, was answered there. That because in my hardwiredness, I try and come up with a...
A solution
or a fix. A point of where I have something to do with fixing the hardwired problem. rather than take it all the way, and that.
Yeah, you gotta remember that if your thought process requires anything of you, then you've missed the point. And if it says that there is something I've said it before, I can't remember how I said it now, but if you cannot make a mistake ascribing too much to Jesus, then you will always make a mistake ascribing anything to you. And that's why when you read the scriptures, you must see that, you know, you're Abel who slew Cain, you're Nimrod who chased, you're the Amalekite who tried to destroy Israel. You're Herod. You're, you know, whatever it is that does the evil, you have to see that's you. Now, and you don't like that because, but if you've come to the end, if you are truly poor in spirit, empty, then it's the best news there is, because you've come to the certainty that all that you have done is vain and fruitless. And when you want to do good, evil is present with you. When that battle can be over in you, then you're finally free, because the Son has made you free. Your identity has been exchanged. That's what really reconciliation means. It means to be exchanged. You're not reconciled. It's like the same thing that we run into this all the time. There's somebody that you think you've offended, and so you go and say, "Forgive me," and then they don't respond the way you should. You're not reconciled with them, and so you're sinning. Then that's what it means. You're sinning as a cart rope. You're dragging anything of the flesh with you. You're dragging any opinions with you. You're dragging any sensory, anything other than faith with you. Because you're not really poor in spirit. You've just been hiding all of this crap. You're a muzzled dog instead of... Does that communicate?
Yeah, and that poor in spirit is when you have seen the end of everything and there's no hope.
Then everything is Him.
Yeah.
And then your warfare is over. You're free. Everything is on the mercy seat. You show mercy. You stop giving yourself any importance whatsoever. And that's a big. I mean, this isn't something that that's what I'm going to do. It can't be there until you... Again, everybody says... I've said this to me ever since I started talking like this. Well, I don't know how to do that. How do you do that? Well, you have to find out that everything else is done. Well, how do I stop the voices? Well, when you find out the voices are meaningless. Well, but I love these good ideas. No, you don't. Well, if you love the good ideas, and every time you would give breath to one of those good ideas, then you raise that one from the deadly head wound from the dead, because you've given him breath. Well, you created you.
When you do that, it all comes back. Not just the thing you think is good, it all comes back.
Right.
That's the sitting with, to me, that's the sitting with a cart rope. It's like it gets longer and longer and longer and worse and worse. And when it comes back, it's worse than it was 5 years ago or 10 years ago.
And then the rabbis also say Isaiah 3. Just go turn a little bit.
Robbie, that would be to the left.
Okay.
For behold, the Lord of hosts doth take away from Jerusalem and from Judah. Now, they're not. They're taking this now away from Judah and Benjamin, not just. You got to have that in your mind when you're reading the scriptures. Otherwise, you'll always confused about who Judah and who Israel is.
Yeah.
And then for us, he is not a Jew who is one outwardly, whose circumcision is of the flesh. That doesn't mean anything. He is a Jew who is one inwardly, whose circumcision is of the heart. And the evidence of the circumcision of the heart is you no longer need the praise of men. Now, that sounds like a really, really easy thing. Oh, I don't need the praise of men. Just no, that. You just need the praise of men that you think should have some response to you. You know, you just need the praise of men when you think you've been wrong. You just need the praise of men when ad nauseum. You just need the praise of man when somebody hasn't forgiven you like that you think they should.
A couple of years ago, there was a new branch manager at the bank, and he would not remember my name. And I got obsessed about that as much as anything I've ever been obsessed about.
Hey, really? That was big then. And that was, and you see that was God making him do that?
Yeah,
it's pretty.
Yeah.
Sir.
Yeah, I mean, God
forgot your name. Yeah. All right. One more. Micah. See if you can find Micah.
Is that left or right?
I got to say this.
That's to the right.
I think of all of you who need the praise of all of you.
Yeah, that's especially true.
Yeah. And obviously, many have gone through that, myself included. Thinking that's where I'm okay if I get your approval or something.
No, you're okay when nobody can ever put a trip on you again.
Yeah.
Micah what?
Micah must be really small. Well, Malachi did.
Jonah, Micah.
Just before back. Page 962.
I'm going to the table contact.
It's right before Nahum, Ronnie. That should help you.
Nahum? Okay.
It's a good thing that rain had.
I know. It's pretty quiet.
All right. Everybody there? Ronnie's still searching.
962.
What chapter? There it is, Nahum.
Micah 2.
Micah 2:4.
Yeah, I remember saying there, a little irritation in his voice. Micah 2. Play back the tape.
What?
Micah, I never said Micah 2.
I certainly did.
Micah. No, you didn't.
Play it back. You said Micah.
All right.
I'm right, damn it.
Good. I'm proud of you.
He is so right.
He is so right.
Woe to them that devise iniquity and work evil upon their beds. When the morning is light, they practice it, because it is in the power of their hands. Now again, that's why your religion, we all do it. You're just about to go to sleep, and then your mind starts, and you don't even consider saying, Father, forgive me. I leave this behind. You just let it go. You work. It's the works of the evil one upon your bed. And that's not talking about doing some immoral sex act, this is talking about the work. You do the work of the evil one upon your bed.
It's almost like just nonstop is what it's doing.
Yeah.
Even when you're lying down.
Even in your dreams. Oh, no, my dreams are good. I'll never forget when I told Harry he was responsible for his dreams. He almost had a heart attack.
Nobody's life.
Right, because that's happened because that. Oh, I feel this overwhelming. Oh, I'm just waiting for the next shoot. Oh, the small. Oh.
I bet you didn't tell me.
I just did.
I don't
agree. You just don't remember them.
Yep, I'm blocking it.
They covet fields, and they take them by violence, and houses, and take them away. So they oppress a man in his house, even a man in his heritage. Now, that's what coveting is. If you want something more than you have, you're coveting. But you can't, you know, until the repentance goes to that level, of want, even to the level of want anything to change, you know, then you are the one that's letting this sort of, and this is, this where it says a little child shall lead them, it isn't talking about this scripture. The little, the your king is your, the stupid little hurt child of your poor little background. Your mommy hurt me or something. That child, that's why that king is condemned, or that people is condemned whose king is a child. I mean, that's the way it applies. You have to see, because that's what this stupid little child does. And you think it's, you know, it's something big, something important, something that can give you this feeling, or really what it is food. You're feeding because you haven't seen that food is sour milk, or it's vanity, or whatever it is. So it's like modern day sugar. You need sugar. You have to have your sugar fix. Well, we all do.
This is what you're talking about when you talk about a land. It's a land of infants. There's no
spirit.
Rites of passage. There's no grown-ups. It's just infantile.
Infantile behavior.
Walking around trying to, you know, get crap out of your diaper, or food down your throat, or, you know, just babies.
Does everybody understand? Anybody? Woe unto the land whose king is a child. All right. Go back to Ecclesiastes. Woe unto thee, O land, when thy king is a child. Verse 17. Blessed art thou, O land, when thy king is the son of nobles, and the princes eat in the due season for strength and not for drunkenness. We don't have time to do this. I'm out of time. But this one is really important.
You can billboard for Monday.
Hmm?
You can billboard for Monday.
Billboard for who?
Monday.
Next time we meet. Next time on morning Bible study.
You can advertise.
Uh-huh. You used to billboard a lot.
Take it quickly, big guy.
It's the way our Aaron Dorkin would do it.